By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine this morning, mashallah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, each and every single morning, we begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Let's, inshallah, begin by listening to the glorious Quran. Now, please do remember that whilst the Quran is being recited, then it is our duty to give our full attention to the recitation of the glorious Quran. And as well as this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, make good intentions. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam states, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that indeed the actions of a person are based upon the intentions. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you gain. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, and it's brilliant in that many people wouldn't be aware of this, but sometimes you may perform one good action, and that one good action can be a means of so much reward. Yes, you can have one intention for that action, but you can also make many other intentions for this same action which you perform. And if you were to make more good intentions, then you would gain more reward for that same one action. So it could be just simply giving money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now for this, you could make the intention that, let's just say you were to give it towards a madrasa or a jami'atul Madina. Now you can make the intention of, inshallah, this shall be spent on the food, on feeding students. Inshallah, it shall be spent on the education. Inshallah, this shall be spent possibly, depending on the situation, depending on the area, it shall be spent on even possibly keeping them warm, keeping them comfortable. It could, anything, so many good intentions you can make. Similarly, my dear viewers, it could be given with the intention to all these things. So the more intentions you make, the more good these a person attains. And remember, yes, Alhamdulillah, we always listen to the glorious Quran. But this is not a substitute for reciting the glorious Quran. No, my dear viewers, this does not take the place of reciting the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillah, we listen to the glorious Quran, brilliant, beautiful, Alhamdulillah. But reciting the glorious Quran holds its own importance. There's looking at the Quran, there's opening the glorious Quran, handling the glorious Quran, maybe kissing the glorious Quran, reciting the glorious Quran, reading it to others. There is so much reward in this. It's something which cannot be met, my dear viewers. Alhamdulillah. And moreover, the Quran shall be a shafi'ah, an intercessor for the reader on the Day of Judgment. So there are so many blessings in reciting the glorious Quran. So my dear viewers, we need to open the Quran and read the Quran. And there are, and sometimes it's shocking, honestly, it's amazing that there are many people who have reached the age of 20 easy, 30, 40, 50. You know, this age, and they're still not able to read the Quran. So imagine this, 50 years of their life they've spent, and they're not able to read the Quran. Sadly, yes, it's even much worse than this. People who are all men, all women, sadly, they were not, you know, granted the opportunity sometimes. Sometimes they were not granted the opportunity. Allahu Ta'ala a'lam as to everybody's situation. But it's really sad if you had the opportunity, you had teachers, and even then you did not go and learn the glorious Quran. This is unfortunate. This is truly saddening, my dear viewers. And yes, there were individuals who, because of the situation, because of where they would live, the place they would live, you know, some people didn't find teachers. They didn't have teachers, or they couldn't afford teachers. So that's another matter. But otherwise, my dear viewers, the majority of us, we have no excuse. We need to learn how to read the Quran, and we need to read the Quran. That's it, my dear viewers. Listen, inshallah, listen to the glorious Quran, and then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
انما ولیکم اللہ ورسوله والذین آمنوا الذین یقیمون الصلاة ویؤتون الزکاة وهم راکعون
تمہارے دوست نہیں مگر اللہ اور اس کا رسول اور ایمان والے کہ نماز قائم کرتے ہیں اور زکات دیتے ہیں اور اللہ کے حضور جھکے ہوئے ہیں
وَمَن يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ
اور جو اللہ اور اس کے رسول اور مسلمانوں کو اپنا دوست بنائے تو بے شک اللہ ہی کا گروہ غالب ہے
یا ایہا الذین آمنوا لا تتخذوا الذین اتخذوا دینکم ہزوا ولعبا من الذین اوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم والكفار اولیاء
اے ایمان والو جنہوں نے تمہارے دین کو ہنسی کھیل بنا لیا ہے وہ جو تم سے پہلے کتاب دیے گئے اور کافر ان میں کسی کو اپنا دوست نہ بناؤ
وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ
اور اللہ سے ڈرتے رہو اگر ایمان رکھتے ہو
وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا
اور جب تم نماز کے لیے اذان دو تو اسے ہنسی کھیل بناتے ہیں
ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ
یہ اس لیے کہ وہ نرے بے عقل لوگ ہیں
قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ هَلْ تَنْقِمُونَ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلُ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِن قَبْلُ وَأَنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ فَاسِقُونَ
تم فرماؤ اے کتابیوں تمہیں ہمارا کیا برا لگا یہی نا کہ ہم ایمان لائے اللہ پر اور اس پر جو ہماری طرف اترا اور اس پر جو جو پہلے اترا اور یہ کہ تم میں اکثر بے حکم یعنی نافرمان ہیں
قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ مَثُوبَةً عِندَ اللَّهِ
تم فرماؤ کیا میں بتا دوں جو اللہ کے یہاں اس سے بدتر درجے میں ہیں
مَن لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتَ
وہ جن پر اللہ نے لعنت کی اور ان پر غضب فرمایا اور ان میں سے کر دیے بندر اور سور اور شیطان کے پوجاری
أُولَئِكَ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وأضل عن سواء السبيل.
ان کا ٹھکانہ زیادہ برا ہے اور یہ سیدھی راہ سے زیادہ بہکے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلو اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلو اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. سورہ المائدہ. So we did begin with Surah Al-Fatiha, and it's been quite some time, alhamdulillah. Surah Al-Fatiha we began with, followed by Surah Al-Baqarah, and then Surah Ali Imran, which was the third chapter. Surah An-Nisa is the fourth chapter. Now we are on the fifth chapter, Surah Al-Ma'idah, with the sixth part of the glorious Qur'an. Now there are 30 parts of the glorious Qur'an. We are on the sixth part, alhamdulillah. There are 114 chapters. We are on the fifth chapter, Surah Al-Ma'idah. And alhamdulillah, this is beautiful, my dear viewers, because we've only spent a few minutes, 3-4 minutes, listening to the glorious Quran. That was along with the translation, nice and slowly. And how far have we come? 6 parts from 30 parts of the glorious Quran. Alhamdulillah, this is a huge achievement. But how did it come? Did it all come in one day? No, it came with consistency, my dear viewers. By consistently listening to the Qur'an, a few verses each and every single day. And alhamdulillah, we have come to, you know, this many ayat, alhamdulillah, we have listened to this many surahs or parts of the Qur'an we have listened to. And alhamdulillah, there is so much reward in listening to the glorious Qur'an. But as I did mention, it's not the same as reciting the glorious Qur'an. Yes, listening to the Qur'an, no doubt, has its own importance and its own beauty, alhamdulillah. But there are no doubt many, endless, so many that we are not even aware of benefits in listening to the glorious Qur'an. But again, we also need to recite the Qur'an. We need to have some sort of understanding of the Holy Qur'an. We need to have some sort of understanding. So first step is to be able to recite it. And that's why when a child is 4 years old, we send them to the masjid, we send them to the madrasa, to learn how to recite the glorious Qur'an. And my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we then, and this is at a young age, it's not the elders, it's the youngsters who are sent, in order for them to first be able to read. And my dear viewers, now what's our level, what's our stage in fact? What should we be doing? We should be reading the Qur'an as well as the translation, as well as the commentary, to gain an understanding of the glorious Qur'an. Because alhamdulillah, the Qur'an is so beautiful, my dear viewers. It possesses, it contains such information, you know, prophecies. There's so much, every single part of the Qur'an is true. And the beauty of it is that the more you read the Qur'an, the more you understand how great the religion of Islam truly is. There will be many people listening. Many would be non-Muslims too. Honestly, recite, read, take a look at the glorious Qur'an, learn about Islam, about the deen. It is absolutely perfect. It is, and I tell you this with confidence, alhamdulillah, the Qur'an, Islam, our deen, is absolutely perfect. It's a perfect way of life. It's the best way of life. Let's move on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest. Truly, truly, no matter what people may say, Allahu Akbar, truly the greatest of all mankind. Somebody unmatched in the entire history of humanity. The greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, let's listen to his praise, the Naat Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Shukriya, سلطان مدینے والے مجھ ساسی بھی ہے مہمان مدینے والے مجھ کمینے کو مدینے میں بلایا تم نے پہ احسان مدینے والے, میں مدینے میں ہوں, 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 یہ فضل خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں, ہے یہ فضل خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں, ہے اسی کی عطا میں مدینے میں ہوں, ہے اسی کی عطا میں مدینے میں ہوں, یا رسول خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں, تم نے بلوا لیا میں مدینے میں ہوں, یا رسول خدا میں مدینے میں ہوں, تم نے بلوا لیا میں مدینے میں ہوں, جانتے ہو میں کیوں آیا طیبہ میں ہوں, جانتے ہو میں کیوں آیا طیبہ میں ہوں, ہے یہاں مصطفیٰ مدینے میں ہوں, ہے یہاں مصطفیٰ مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, ہے یہ رحمت تیری اور عنایت تیری, ساتھ کے قافلہ میں مدینے میں ہوں, ہے یہ رحمت تیری اور عنایت تیری, ساتھ کے قافلہ میں مدینے میں ہوں, اپنے مہمان کو غم مدینے کا دو, اپنے مہمان کو غم مدینے کا دو, سرور انبیاء میں مدینے میں ہوں, سرور انبیاء میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, مجھ پہ احسان ہو پورا ارمان ہو, آپ کی دید کا میں مدینے میں ہوں, مجھ پہ احسان ہو پورا ارمان ہو, آپ کی دید کا میں مدینے میں ہوں, جلوہ یار کا ان کی دیدار کا, جلوائے یار کا ان کی دیدار کا, مولا شربت پیلا میں مدینے میں ہوں, مولا شربت پیلا میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں,
میری عید آ جگے, میری معراج گے, میں یہاں آ گیا میں مدینے میں ہوں, میری عید آ جگے, میری معراج گے, میں یہاں قدموں میں دو اپنے عطار کو, موت قدموں میں دو اپنے عطار کو, ہو کرم سرورا میں مدینے میں ہوں, ہو کرم سرورا میں مدینے میں ہوں,
میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے میں ہوں, میں مدینے
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Yes, the name of the program is Rise and Shine. MashaAllah, we have our respected guest here. No, it's not a night program, it's a morning one. MashaAllah, it's, you can say on the way.
Yeah, well, you did say to me that you will wake me up, and I think you started to wake me up by telling me the title of the program. Yes, MashaAllah, yes.
Allahu Akbar. Anyway, welcome to our program. Jazakallah. Bless you, barakallah, for joining us. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Yes, listen to the glorious Quran, but you also must read and recite the glorious Quran. And mashallah, today, Khalifa, we have a special topic.
Mashallah.
And the topic is zakat. Now, we're not going to get into the intricacies or the, you know, rulings here and there, the important ones, inshallah, we can touch upon. But why did I leave it as zakat and not charity? Because charity itself, yes, is general and holds a huge importance. But what I would like you to tell us, Khalid bhai, is the importance, not just Islamically, but the effects of zakat. Now, if we think about it, charity is something, or general charity, if we were not to include a zakat within the charity. Other types of charity, Khalid bhai, is good, but it's not necessary, is it? So if people wish to give it, they give it. If they don't wish to give it, they don't have to give it. But zakat is something they have to give, and it's really important. Why is it they have to give it?
That's the important thing to realize, first and foremost, that it is obligatory upon us. Why is it obligatory? I'll give you an example that I quoted yesterday on the channel with regards to fasting. Yeah?
Mm.
A new person, a new Muslim, asked somebody that, why do we fast during the month of Ramadan?
Mm.
And this person said to him that, you know, there's scientists in Scandinavia that say that if you fast, it removes the toxins from your
yes.
body, and it's very, very good for your health. So he listened to that and he said, okay, that's fair enough, but I'm not happy with the answer.
Mm.
He then went to another person and said to him, you know, why do we fast during the month of Ramadan?
Okay.
And this person says, you know, when you feel the hunger pains, it makes you think about those people that are not as fortunate as you are, and it encourages you to spend and help them and think about them and feel their pain. And he said, okay, fair enough, but I'm still not very happy.
Mm.
He then went to a scholar and he said to the scholar, why do we fast during the month of Ramadan? The scholar gave a simple answer, but this answer was enough for this person.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we fast during the month of Ramadan because Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered us to fast. And he said, that's enough for me. That's all I need to know. Now, the benefits of fasting are secondary. The primary reason is because Allah Azza wa Jalla orders to. And the same is zakat, though, isn't it, Shabazz bhai? It's an order from Allah Azza wa Jalla to pay our zakat.
And now, this is, sorry for interrupting, but this is really important. First of all, it's really important that you did begin by this. Why? Because we've established what is right, what is wrong. Who can it be determined by?
Yes.
Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's the criteria.
Exactly. That's the only criteria. It's the only possible criteria. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to fast, that should be sufficient for
enough.
Us. Yes, subhanAllah. It should be. But now, many people would be wondering, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to do many things, but there's always a wisdom behind it. Now,
That's secondary, though, isn't it?
Yes.
That's secondary. It's like nowadays people will look into the science of the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the miswak, and why we're doing wuzu in this way and why we're praying in this way. And they look into the benefits of it. But the primary reason is we're doing it. Why? In this particular case, because it's a Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're fasting. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered us to fast. And like you said, that is the end of it.
Yes.
If you wish to go further, if you wish to look into it, whatever you look into should not deter from the original command.
Mm.
So if you find, astaghfirullah, there are people might be out there that will find negative reasons for fasting. Yeah, negative reasons for giving zakat, and they'll find negative reasons. That is not acceptable.
What could be a negative reason for fasting?
I don't know if people could come up with reasons that, oh, if I fast, it might damage my health, or if I fast, I get headaches and I get migraines. And these,
oh, you mean?
So people will,
right,
them sort of reasons, yeah? But whatever reason you come up with, it's not acceptable. Mm. So you may have a panel of people that will come up with, you know, 10 scientific benefits of fasting. You might get a panel that have 10 negative benefits.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
The primary reason is Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered us to do that, and that's the be all and end all.
Alhamdulillah.
And that's what we need to accept.
Alhamdulillah. Brilliant. But are you going to get to my question now?
What was your question again?
My question was that zakat, which is just, you know, just zakat itself, what are the, you could say, the benefits?
Well, we're told, I think it mentions in the Quran, and you can rectify me if I'm wrong, that it actually purifies your wealth.
Yes.
And really what happens is we have this mindset that if we give something, we've lost something.
Mm.
Yeah? that if you've got £10 and you give £1, you've lost £1. Yes, you have. If you go and buy, you know, your chips or your drinks or everything, that £1 has been spent on whatever benefit you get, or you lose it. But when you give your zakat, you're not losing it. Yeah? It may seem to you that I've got £10, I've now given £5, I've got £5, but that £5 is put somewhere for you, don't worry. That £5 will never go down. That £5 is an investment for your akhirat. And that £5 is fulfilling the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the benefits of it. But I think, you know, and there's many, many hadiths in there that talks about purifying the wealth, and people have, can give examples of that, that once they've given zakat, they actually feel mentally, you know, in comfort inside their mind. But I think one thing what I'd want you to talk about as well, though, Shabazz Bhai, is I know you didn't want to talk about the Sharia rulings on it in depth, but there's a lot of people out there that have a false idea of when zakat is due on them.
Really important.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and what they said is they were talking about the zakat that they paid, and they actually had a list that I paid this much this year, this year, this year. And I was looking at it, and I said to him, you know, so this first one here, yeah, is that when you got married? I said, yeah. I said, so you started paying zakat when you got married. Why when you got married? Oh, because on the gold. I said, okay, okay. So before you got married, you never had any money? And he went, yeah, I did. And I said, did you have sufficient money? And he went, yeah, I did. And it made him realize. And so there's this, I don't know whether it's something to do with our culture, Shabazz Bhai, the Asian culture, that we think, oh, we start paying zakat when we get married. Yeah, you got married now, the gold's in the house, let's pay the zakat on the gold. But there's all these other things.
Gee, I think this may happen for some people because they're gifted a lot of gold and maybe they were not working, or maybe they've never been working, they've not had money. So for some people, it
could. Yeah, that's fair enough. That's
for some people,
I think everybody needs to look at themselves.
Yes.
Especially here in the West where, you know, you're earning money, you need to look at yourself and say, and you see people like the Shabazz by that, they don't get married until they're 30. Yes. And by the age of 30, they've got a house, they've got a car, they've got a bank balance. They've been around the world, they've done another Hajj and Umrah, they've done everything.
Exactly.
Yeah? And they've not paid any zakat. Why? Because they've not got married. Marriage is not the start of zakat. I think that's the clear thing. Yeah? People should not realize that when you get married, that's when you start calculating zakat. You start paying your zakat when it is financially upon you to pay the zakat. Whether you're 30 or whether you're 40.
I think this is the important point, that it's not any fixed time. It's different for different people.
Yes.
This is what people think, that this person's giving it, I'll give it now too. That must mean, you know, it's necessary upon me too. The actual ruling, my dear viewers of Mandani Channel, is that when a person does have enough to meet the criteria, so for nowadays, it'll be around about 250, we'll say. This
I
is
think
approximately.
It's 265, they're saying, something like that. Yeah,
it moves up and down, doesn't it? Yeah. So let's just say 265 then, if you were to take yours. 265, if a person has £265, again, I'll say approximately. £265. Now, the first day he has £265, this could be wealth in money, it could be gold, it could be silver, it could, in fact, business stock. Khalifa, how it used to be is that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was dirhams and there was dinars. So dirhams are the equivalent of silver. That's what they were silver. Dinars were gold. So from a particular amount of gold, you could say it comes to about 2.5% of gold, the Prophet ﷺ ordered to give this number of gold coins it was. So silver, this from 52.5, you can say, this amount of silver needed to be given. And in them days, it was only gold and silver. But now we don't deal in gold and silver. We deal, currency is generally considered to be its equivalent. So we deal in currency. So now if you were to have, you will go back either one of the two. So if you were to have, let's just say, for example.
Not either, combined.
That's if you have both of them.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But let's just say you only have one type of currency. So let's just say you only have money, you don't have no silver or gold. Then the one which is worth less from the two, as is silver throughout history we've seen, silver is worth less. So if you have the equivalent of 52.5 of silver, point whatever it may be, of silver, then that's your first day. This is when your day starts. You don't need to give zakat yet. But when an entire Islamic year has passed, and you still have more than, let's just say, about £265 approximately, in such a situation, you must give zakat on that currency. But now, my dear viewers of Madinah, if somebody has silver too, then that silver, the value of that silver is also considered. If somebody was to have less than this, let's just say they were only to have 1 pound, but they were to have so much gold, and the value of that gold could will go into thousands. How much is $1 of gold worth?
I think it's at least thousands of pounds now.
It is thousands, yeah. Isn't it? So if a person was to have 1 pence and he was to have, you know, just $1, as we call it, of gold, even then zakat would be necessary, yeah, if that one entire year has passed.
You see, what happens is a lot of people try to make excuses for not fasting.
Mm.
But whilst we're talking about zakat, in the same way, a lot of people make excuses for not giving zakat as well.
Right.
They'll say, oh, you know, this gold, what it is I've divided it. You know, I've got four children, and it's theirs.
Mm.
Yeah. When they get married, I'll give it to them. Okay, that's fair enough. Right. And what they say is, well, that's less than the value. But you're the owner at the moment. Whilst you are the owner.
This is really important, because if you're going to say this, so if your child could rob you, that means he can just take it. You can just go take it and spend it on whatever
you wish. People make excuses, yeah, that they don't pay the zakat on it because they kept it for their children. Well, it's your ownership at the moment. Yeah, you know, the word malkiyat, you're the one that's owning it at the moment. So you are responsible until you've given it them, until at the age of understanding that you've given them, it's yours. So you cannot make an excuse. And I think what happens is we try to make so many excuses, you know, for not reading our namaz, not fasting in the month of Ramadan, not paying our zakat. You know, how many people make the excuse whilst we're talking about that, about, you know, it's financially further upon them to now go and perform the hajj, and they make all sorts of excuses.
Yes.
Oh, I've got to get my daughters married. Oh, I've got to get the kitchen extension done. Mm. Oh, I've got to, you know, I've got to get a decent car. I've got to get this, and I've got to get this, and all these things. And you're delaying that for us, or making excuses for not performing that for us. And I think it's very important that if you think, in the case of zakat, that you have any doubt, then, like the example at the beginning, the Ramadan example, yeah? Go to a scholar. Don't go to Joe Bloggs next door and say, do you think I have to pay zakat or not? Go to a scholar and say to him, look, this is my situation. And you'd be surprised. I remember, Shabazz, by that we had half a dozen people that went to Darul Iftar, and they all were quizzed by Darul Iftar that, are you a Shari Fakir or not?
Mm.
And the people who I thought were Shari Fakir were not.
Mm.
The people who I thought were really well thought wealthy and had, like, you know, what I thought was £250,000 house ended up being Shari Fakirs.
This is possible, yeah.
Me looking at it, I'm thinking, how is this possible? Mm. But that's why you need to go to a scholar. Sit down with a scholar and say, look, and when it comes to working out your zakat, you need to sit down with a scholar, because the scholar will know what question to ask you.
Mm.
What happens is, nowadays, we get our gold, we get our silver, and then very few people even get the silver out. They get the gold out, weigh out what the value is, 2.5%, and they pay that, and they think that's okay. They're not looking at bank balances, they're not looking at loans, they're not looking at debts, they're not looking at what people owe them as well. Yeah. And there's Sharia rulings on that. I don't know if you want to go on that. If someone owes me £10,000,
you still have to pay on that.
They have to pay on that. Mm. People don't realize that.
Mm.
And again, the other day I was sat with someone, and he came to me and he said, I've got some good news for you, Khalabai. I said, what? He said, do you remember I lent that money to somebody, and what happened was he didn't pay me, and I finally got it back. I said, how much was it? He said, £50,000. So I said to him, how long have you had that £50,000 with him? Yeah. And he worked it about 6 or 7 years. So I said, do you realize you owe this much zakat?
It's not much, though.
But what I mean, what I'm saying is people forget about that.
Yeah.
You know, people don't think that is part of the calculation. So that's why it's very, very important to sit with the scholars. I don't know. Next door neighbor doesn't know. Joe Bloggs doesn't know. Sit down with a scholar. You know, mashallah, we have the likes of Shabazz Madani here. Alhamdulillah, within the UK now, we have a lot of UK-born scholars that are graduated from our Jamiat al-Madinah's. You know, alhamdulillah. The reason for that, the reason why we opened the Jamiat al-Madinah, I know we're going off the topic, the reason why we opened the Jamiat al-Madinah, Shabazz Bhai, is so that people can connect with you, connect with all of these English-speaking scholars, because, you know, connecting with people that have come from abroad is a little bit harder. Go and sit down with you. Shabazz Bhai is not going to hit you if you go and ask him a question about zakat, inshallah. So, phone him up and give him the questions. But yeah, it's very important, though, isn't it?
Khalid, by just mentioning, you know, Jamiat al-Madinah, many people would ask, so where do you spend this zakat? Where does this zakat go? We give it towards Dawat Islami. Where does it go?
Allahu Akbar. Where do I start? Where do I finish?
You know, you see, this is the reason I chose this topic for yourself, mashallah.
You trapped me, did you? No, but alhamdulillah, just to give you a picture here in the UK, right? Here in the UK, and this is just a a one snapshot of Dawat Islami were, if you were to go internationally, it would be so much bigger.
Yes.
Here in the UK, the other day, I got a list of our properties and we're just doing some checks on them to making sure all the planning permissions are in place and all these sort of places. And I made a list of all those properties, those that we own and those that we rent.
Yeah.
And it was up to number 69.
MashaAllah.
69 different properties within the UK. Now, them 69 properties are not there so we can have a portfolio of properties and say, you know, Dawat Islami has X million pounds of properties. Each and every one of them properties has something going on in them. There's some sort of activity going on there. Be it madrasa. Madrasa to Madina, what is madrasa to Madina? It's the traditional after-school classes where students are taught the Quran, and hifz classes are there as well. More than 4,000 children are in their madrasas at the moment.
SubhanAllah, if you allow me to just
no problem.
1 minute, inshallah. We are going to move to our daily reminder.
Okay.
And then, inshallah, we'll have a reminder for this too.
You've woke me up, thankfully.
على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Respecting views of Mother Nation, we are humans, we make mistakes, but if we make any mistake, if we commit any sin, because of being human being, we should ask forgiveness from the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We should make repentance. We should do tawbah in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because it is the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when a person admits his sin, then repents, Allah azza wa jal accepts his repentance. So respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is a glad tiding for us, for believers, that if we make any mistake, if any sin has been committed, then what should we do? We should make repentance. We should do tawbah in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He's so kind. He's so merciful. He's so compassionate. He will forgive our mistakes. He will forgive our sins. So do not delay in repenting, because we never know what is the last breath which we're going to take. Will depart from this mortal world. So never delay in making tawbah in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We're speaking about zakat, Khalid bhai. You were telling us about, mashallah, the departments or the buildings of...
Basically mentioned so far the Madrasat al-Madina, which are our traditional after-school classes that happen up and down the country. Approximately 4,000 students at the moment, alhamdulillah. During lockdown, we continued to provide this service. And we got it, it was difficult to get everybody on board, but we got it as high as 3,000 students that were being taught online during the lockdown. Now we've gone back face to face. Jamaat al-Madina, or I was just thinking now, I should have really worked it out. I think 9 Jamaat al-Madinas for the boys and 4 Jamaat al-Madinas for the sisters, again, up and down the country. And more than 500 or 600 students are in them Jamaat al-Madinas. And like I say, what are the Jamaat al-Madinas? It's a terminology of Dawat Islami, that these are the places where the scholars of the future are going to be created. And, you know, I remember years ago, it was a dream of Dawat Islami here in the UK to have this, to bridge the gap between the awam and the scholars, to have these English-born scholars that are approachable. And, you know, mashallah, Shabazz, by yourself, mashallah, you've been to our Jamaat al-Madina, you've graduated from there. And you will realize yourself that how many people, maybe even on a daily basis, contact you and ask you questions and everything. And they feel comfortable in asking someone that they feel at their own, so to speak. I grew up with this lad, I know him, and this and that. And that is very, very important to have that here. And alhamdulillah, that's just one of, we just mentioned two of the departments. Madani Channel's here in front of you. And Allah. If I was to tell you the expense of just the UK expense of Madani Channel, you would fall off the chair. Trust me, it is a huge amount of money. Because, you know, even before we switch on a camera, even before we buy a chair or anything like that, then the cost of just the satellite costs, the sky costs, them sort of costs, we're looking at possibly close to £30,000-£35,000 a month.
Right.
A month just to switch your TV on. Not to have Shabazz by sitting here, not to have that camera switched on, nothing. Alhamdulillah, we're bearing them costs and you can see the fruit of it. And alhamdulillah, day by day, I feel that we are improving. Day by day, we're opening more and more centers.
SubhanAllah, just one thing to note that some people could have some sort of misunderstanding that maybe we are using zakat money and that's being used to purchase buildings or things which is not permissible for things to be used. So alhamdulillah, one of the brilliances is that whatever money is spent, Khalibah, am I right, that a scholar will authorize it, a mufti?
Well, you know, every single penny that comes to Dawat Islami has to be looked at about what this is. And on a daily basis, we're in contact with the scholars that this money has come for this.
Yes.
Can we use it for this? No. Okay. Can we use it for that? No. You have to use it for this. And so our restricted funds files of every single penny of where it cannot be used, it takes, you know, that's why our accounts take so much longer to do, because we have to go through every single penny.
Allahu Akbar. And there's something beautiful there. But let's inshallah move to our daily hadith sharif and then we will continue inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani channel, today we will be listening to a hadith which relates to the neighborhood of the noble prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم in the paradise. It is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri رضي الله تعالى عنه that the most noble prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "He who performs salah properly, whose household is large, that means has more members, and provisions are limited, and who does not backbite other Muslims, he and I will be like this in paradise." That is, the Prophet put his index fingers and middle finger together. Dear viewers of Madani channel, the mentioned hadith mentions a great Madani method to gain the neighborhood of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. The greatness of paradise is truly marvelous, and may Allah grant us all with the neighborhood of the blessed and the holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Khalibah, you were speaking about all these buildings, and we did say that it's really important to understand that we do have Muftiyani Kiram, as you did highlight, who will first endorse or allow for any money, any pence, he says, to be spent wherever it is spent. So it is always in harmony with...
To that extent, Shima, is like that. If we buy this building, and I decide to knock that wall down, then I need a mufti to get permission to knock that wall down. Even though I'm going to knock that wall down to make it a bigger studio here, I need his permission. Right? If we put a new door in anywhere, we get their permission. Any extension work, other than normal maintenance repairs, we have to get the scholars on board. Wow. And this, you know, when I got involved originally, I'm thinking, why? You know, I just want to put a door in. I need the door there. Yeah. It's beneficial for me. It's going to make my life easier. But then the scholars will say, well, why are you doing this? What is the benefit in doing this? Why have you not managed this? And they'll go into all sorts of things that I cannot even think of. So alhamdulillah, you realize that when you come to the environment of Dawat Islami Shahbaz by that, you feel comfortable in that you know that, you know, as a layman, that I'm not a scholar. As a layman, I can make mistakes, but I've got the backing of these scholars. I've got the backing of these scholars and the Darul Ifta and the Muftis that are going to make sure that Khalid doesn't make mistakes.
Khalibah, I shall tell you one thing which I love about Dawat Islami so much. And some people would be saying, yeah, you're biased because you're part of Dawat Islami. But alhamdulillah, I think of Dawat Islami as the way everybody else would think of it. But mashallah, what I love about it so much is that Amir Ahlul Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, the Peer, the Sheikh, the teacher of, mashallah, these Muftiyani Kiram too, he himself, if he was to, I remember they decided to do the Fizan Medina in Bab al-Madina, in Karachi. They said, you know, we're going to build a dome? I think it was, yes, it was a dome. And then they said, you know, who's going to give money to us? And people were giving money to us. And then the Mufti Ayan Ikram said, no, you can't. Or we were going to have a university in Pakistan. And they said, no, this land is not for a university. This land is for a madrasa, something like this. And when I heard these things, I was shocked. I was like, wow, seriously, this is going to be so big for Dawat Islami. It's going to make Dawat Islami, let's just say, from mashallah, it's so big already. But from there to like there, even then our own people are prohibiting it. And I was like, wow, mashallah, it shows sincerity, doesn't it?
Well, if you also notice, and I thought you were going to say that, when Amir al-Sunnat and during the month of Ramadan, they have the Madani Muzakas daily, which are the question and answer sessions with Amir al-Sunnat. Amir al-Sunnat will not have them sessions unless there's some mufti sitting
unless there. Unless there's a mufti there, gee.
You know, and it's less it's that capable muftis that he will not, because he's so conscious. And you know, my belief is that he knows the answers, but he'll always just...
Gee, he'll always
know,
make
he'll
sure.
Just, yes. And the mufti will... And that's, you know, he'll answer it and he'll just check. Yeah. And that's the sincerity. But then again, you know, people say, well, why does he need them? He's such a big scholar. He's just making sure. And I
show that he's human.
Well, I personally believe, Shabazz, by that the best scholars that I've come across are those people that, you know, check their knowledge, you know. And you know, as some of your teachers, that you can phone them up. And there's a joke about one of your teachers that if you phone him up and ask him a simple question, he will say, Khalabai, I'll get back to you. And I'm going, what? And he'll read basically the book, and it says here. So he knows then that he's checked, even though I'm 100% sure he knows the answer, but he just wants a reference to back it up. And that's why, I feel it's the sincerity of Dawat Islami that we try to create the scholars, but we try to give them the mindset, to be humble.
Subhanallah. Khalid bhai, jazakallahu khaira. Brilliant, mashallah, words of wisdom there. Jazakallahu khaira. But that's all for now. And it is Rise and Shine, Khalid bhai. We were getting a bit. But don't worry, my dear viewers on the channel. We shall be returning tomorrow too, inshallah, azza wa jal. That's all for now. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.